as I'm not sure who just got ejected there, but we will find out in the break. Either way, no runs on the one hit, no errors, and three left on base. It's 11-11 entering the eighth. This is WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
The top of the eighth inning, and we are still tied here in Rockford. It's 11-11, and the Rafters will be led off by Eric Parker, Jack Guerrero, and Pat Costin, the 5-6-7 batters in the game. And Eric Parker, the right-handed second baseman, takes the first pitch for strike number one. Parker is 2-for-4 on the game. He has scored both times he's been on, and his last time up was a double as he grounds one down the third baseline, but foul. Brings the count 0-2, and I did find out it was Brent Gallegos who was ejected in between innings. He was celebrating on his way off and apparently said something to the home plate umpire, and they said, all right, your night's done. So Gallegos ends up going two innings, and he is done. So an 0-2 count on the way to Parker. Breaking ball misses inside for ball number one. Didn't miss by much there, and Parker will certainly take it. Cole Edwards still out on the mound for the Rivets. He's already gone an inning and two-thirds, thrown 31 pitches. 1-2 count, holds off on another breaking ball. This one misses low. It's now 2-2. Top of the eighth inning, and the Rafters scored three runs in each of the first three innings. They led 9-5 through three, and this pitch misses inside and just barely avoids hitting the thigh of Eric Parker. So now the count is full, 3-2. And after leading 9-5, the Rafters scored another run to make it 10-5 in the top of the fourth. But in the bottom of the fourth, five runs by the Rivets made it 10-10. Each team scored one run in the sixth and have gone scoreless since. Grounder over towards second, high chopper. It'll be tough to beat him out, but they can't. Parker is aboard, an infield single. That speed shows there. And he has recorded a hit in his last three at-bats now. A 3-for-5 game from Eric Parker, and he's on to first base with nobody out in the top of the eighth. Parker, a quick runner who already has a stolen base on the game, so watch out for him to take off. He loves stealing second. Parker, 8 stolen bases on the season, and a bunt shown here. It's placed down very well from Guerrero, and the throw over to first is not in time as Eric Parker is able to get to second. The throw was in time, I should say. Eric Parker was over to second base, and Jack Guerrero out at first on a sacrifice bunt. So the play ends up going 1-3 in the books. Sack hit for Guerrero, and It brings up Pat Costin to the plate with one out and a runner on second base. And Costin, the left-handed hitting catcher, trying to make something happen in an 11-11 ball game. This pitch misses high for ball number one. And with that hit that Eric Parker had, puts the Rafters up to 13 hits in the game. They are nearing that season high of 16. The Rivets already have 16 hits. There have been 29 combined hits between the two teams. 1-0 count. This one is ripped towards left field. That gets on through the gap. Here comes Eric Parker rounding third. Here's a throw on the money, but not in time. Now a throw down to second, trying to take him there, and they got him. But the Rafters take the lead. It's 12-1 in the top of the eighth, and the bases are empty. Pat Costin tried to take off for second base on the throw home, but he was thrown out. However, Eric Parker made it safely to the plate. It's 12-1 in the top of the eighth. Rafters have the lead. And now Gunnar Myro up to the plate. There are two outs in the top of the eighth and nobody on the bases. First pitch to Myro is on the upper part of the zone, called for a strike. It's now 0-1. Gunnar Myro, the right-handed hitting center fielder, up for the fifth time today. 0-1 count, he swings and misses. And he was swinging early on that one as it broke in late. So an 0-2 count. Myro's already got two hits. He's 2-for-3 in the game. Had an RBI single back in the sixth inning. 0-2 count on the way home. Breaking ball misses high and tight over the head of Gunnar Myro. Makes it a 1-2 count, and the Rafters hoping to hold the lead late. You look at tie ball games late into the night. Rafters haven't had all too many of them. 1-2 count on the way. It's fouled off, so Myro stays alive. And in games that are tied after six innings, as this one was, the Rafters are 2-1. But the Rafters always took the lead in the seventh inning. In those games, the Rafters are actually 0-1 in games that are tied after 7. 1-2 count is grounded over towards third, and that one gets to the shortstop, but he was far enough in the outfield that he wasn't going to be able to make that throw. Gunnar Myro over to first, and well, it's just kept in the glove of the shortstop, so an infield hit once again for the Rafters, as that single is the third hit of the inning for Wisconsin Rapids. And a big one at that, as it makes it 14 hits in the game. Or 15, I believe, actually, as here's a quick mound visit from the Rivets as they look to talk things over with Cole Edwards. And actually, they're going to make a call to the bullpen here. So call to the bullpen comes, and they take out Cole Edwards, new pitcher coming into the game, and Edwards, his night is done after he goes 2 1/3 innings and allows four hits. He's allowed one run to this point in time and one inherited runner as well. And that one run that was on his line was earned. He allowed one walk, one strikeout, and along with that, did not hit a batter with a pitch, did not balk, and did not throw a wild pitch. He faced a total of 10 batters on 42 pitches, and Cole Edwards is now out of the game as the new pitcher into the game, number 15, Hawk Bowers, checks in, and Bowers comes in and hopes to lock things down, as he is a right-handed pitcher from McLennan Community College. Just a freshman there, where he stands 6'2", 185, a native of Denton, Texas. And looking at the way that the season has gone for him, it hasn't been too bad. He's only made two appearances, though. And in those two appearances, a 6 ERA. His last time out, he barely saw the field, did not record any outs, didn't finish off any batters, and it is now his turn against Traverse City. Was his real only outing. And in that outing against Traverse City, he went three innings, allowing two runs. Both were earned on two hits, two walks, and one strikeout. Faced 13 batters in that game and now looking to carry it over into this one. He comes in with a runner on first base. And that is Gunnar Myro. And the new pitcher into the game, Hawk Bowers, hoping to lock it down. He'll be going up against Royce Clayton Jr. And Clayton stepping into the plate. He's got that runner over there on first base. And looking at the way that this game has gone, the Rafters, 15 hits. Looking at their lineup, three batters have recorded three hits as well. Runner on first is Myro. He's leaning, but not taking yet. Now he goes. Pitch comes. It's a fastball. Looks like a kind of a pitch out. Throw on down to second. He slides, but couldn't get under the tag. Another caught stealing for the Rafters as Gunnar Myro is gunned down at second for out number three. And the Rafters do take the lead. They score one run on their three hits. There were no errors, and there was nobody left on base. It's 12-11 Wisconsin Rapids. We hit the bottom of the eighth here on WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last two or three decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball on WFHR.
And the Rafters do indeed turn to a new pitcher out there. Of course, Brent Gallegos was ejected back in between the seventh and eighth innings. And so they are now turning to Jafet Martinez. And Martinez comes in to relieve Brent Gallegos. Gallegos went two innings, allowed three hits, one run. It was not earned. He walked two batters and struck out three without hitting anyone with a pitch. He did not balk. However, he did have two wild pitches in the game, facing 11 batters. He did so on 42 pitches. And now Martinez back in for the first pitch. It is high for ball number one. And the right-hander for the Rafters taking over. He's come into a couple of close situations, and recently it hasn't quite gone his way. Coming in with a save opportunity. The 1-0 count is ripped down the first base line, but just foul. Now a 1-1 count. And Martinez taking on Connor Cunningham, A.J. Malzone, and Jackson Forbes. It's the 7-8-9 batters in the lineup for the Rivets. Cunningham, the left-handed hitting shortstop. It's a lefty-righty matchup to lead off the bottom of the eighth. 12-11 Rafters. Pitch coming home. This one is fouled back to bring it 1-2. And A.J. Malzone on deck has three hits in the game, so you don't want to give him traffic aboard. And looking at Martinez this season, man, it has been rough for him, not in terms of his ERA, but, man, he's allowed seven unearned runs in the past week. None of them were earned. And that is basically all through different games as well. very diversified there. It hasn't been one game he allowed all seven unearned. It's been in different appearances. Pitch missed to make it a 2-2 count. Pitch comes home. It is inside for ball number three. 3-2, and Martinez, since last Sunday, it's basically 1 week, he's gone 3 2/3 innings, 7 runs allowed, none of them earned on 7 hits, 2 walks, had 3 strikeouts. 3-2 count coming home. It's a grounder towards first. Picked up off the hop by Guerrero. Throw over to Martinez, and they got him after Martinez nearly took out the first base umpire. 3-1 on the putout, but they do record the out, and it brings up A.J. Malzone with nobody on and one away in the bottom of the eighth. And Martinez, you go back to a couple outings ago, back against Madison on June 18th. It was last Wednesday, back when we were at Winter Field. He went 2 scoreless innings against the Mallards. It was a great outing for him. And he also recorded 4 outs without allowing a run earlier in the month back against Fond du Lac on June 3rd. Pitch comes home. This one is high for ball number one to A.J. Malzone. Malzone up at the plate, the left-handed hitting catcher for the Rivets. It's a lefty-righty matchup. Now a 1-0 count on the way. This one is set high in the air towards right field. Going back, this one is out of here, and we are tied at 12. Home run by A.J. Malzone, and Martinez can't lock it down here. He does allow the earned run, and that one knocks it at 12. Solo shot from A.J. Malzone. It's the second home run of the game from the Rivets. And it's the fourth home run of the game between the two teams combined. Been a bit of a home run derby. 12-12, the score in the bottom of the eighth. And a new batter stepping into the batter's box. It's Jackson Forbes, or at least it would have been if it weren't for the pinch hitter. And the pinch hitter is Sam Flores. And Flores pinch hitting for Jackson Forbes after Forbes ended up going 2-for-4 in the game with a double and a single. They like the matchup here with the lefty as the first pitch is in there, called for a strike, an 0-1 count. It's a lefty-righty matchup with Martinez on the mound. And, well, Martinez not going to be happy with that one. And now 0-for-3 on save opportunities as pitch comes in and misses low for ball number one. It's a 1-1 count. Martinez had been trying to be that lockdown guy. Couldn't quite get it on one big swing from A.J. Malzone. 1-1 count here. Popped up, but straight back and out of play. Now a 1-2 count to Sam Flores. And Flores, looking at what he's done this season for the Rivets, he's batted a cool .279, one of their better hitters on the year, over 12 games. 1-2 count with nobody on and one away in the bottom of the eighth. It is in there, called strike three, got him looking. And that is out number two for Jafet Martinez. And that's a big one because Flores had homered in his last game earlier yesterday against Battle Creek, and he was 2-for-3 the game prior. So he had been a hot batter, and now they get rid of him and they get back to the top of the order. And the top of the order is Harrison Bowman, the right-handed hitting center fielder. It's a righty-righty matchup with two away and nobody on in the bottom of the eighth. Tied at 12, pitch from Martinez. It is a little low for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Bowman is up now for the sixth time today. He is 2-for-3, reaching base 4 times. 1-0 count to him. And the pitch coming home from Martinez. It is in there on the breaking ball. 1-1 the count. And Bowman, his last time up, he drew a walk in the seventh inning. Fifth inning, he was hit by a pitch. Fourth inning was the solo shot to lead off the inning. He was the other home run of the game prior to A.J. Malzone. 1-1 count. This one is fouled off to bring the count 1-2. And the Rafters just not able to shake off the rivets. Get a little bit of Taylor Swift going in here. Shake it off. 1-2 count. Base is empty with two away in the bottom of the eighth. Bowman trying to make it count against Martinez. And Martinez, always a positive guy when you talk to him off the field, trying to end this one on a positive note. It's hit over towards second base. Parker's there. He'll field and throw over to first in time for out number three. But the solo shot does the damage. There was one run that came across for the Rivets on the one hit. No errors and nobody left on base. It's 12-12. We hit the ninth here in Rockford on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
And it's the top of the ninth here from Rivets Stadium in Rockford, Illinois. And officially Loves Park, Illinois, right around Rockford. And the Rivets trying to get the win against the Rafters, but Wisconsin Rapids has been leading or tied the entire game. First pitch to the right-handed hitter Royce Clayton Jr. is fouled back, making an 0-1 count. And Clayton, he was at the plate when the eighth inning ended on the caught stealing of Gunnar Myro. It was another caught stealing from A.J. Malzone as this pitch misses high to bring the count 2-1-1. And Clayton up for the fifth time today. He is 1-for-3. His last time up, he flew out to left field back in the sixth inning. 1-1 count on the way. It's in there for strike number two, a 1-2 count. And Clayton in the fourth inning, he had a single. That was his previous time. And then a walk in the third that he came around to score on. Also grounded into a fielder's choice back in the first. 1-2 count on the way. It's a fly ball towards shallow right field. And it'll be the first baseman who ends up making the play. And that is out number one as comes down into the glove of Ty Wade for the first. Brings up the top of the order for the Rafters, and it's Chris Diaz into the plate. Diaz, the left-handed hitting right fielder, he pinch hit for Hiroto Kobayashi earlier. Mason Onyade is on deck. He's due up in the inning as well. Rafters tied 12-12 in the top of the ninth. Trying to take the lead, they got to get base runners, and Diaz, that's his specialty. First pitch to him is taken high for ball number one, and trying to keep his positive energy rolling along since switching to number 46. 1-0 count with nobody on and one away in the top of the ninth. He takes this one inside. It's ball two. Diaz, he likes taking his pitches. He has no problem with holding off the bat on a ball. 2-0 the count on home. He takes this one inside for ball number three. 3-0. And he showed that off last game, earlier yesterday, when he went 0-3 to start the game. But then he drew back-to-back walks in his last two plate appearances. Scored runs on those. 3-0 count. This one misses inside, and he draws a walk here. So he works on base. That's his fifth straight game working on base. And a one-out base runner for the Rafters as it brings up Mason Oñate to the plate with Chris Diaz on first and one out in the top of the ninth. Oñate, the left-handed hitting shortstop for the Rafters. He had a go-ahead home run earlier against Traverse City. That's his one home run on the season. First pitch to him, misses inside, bounces away from Malzone, but he's able to go grab it before Diaz advances towards second. And Diaz, I'm a little surprised he wasn't already off and trying to take the next bag. He, along with Oñate, lead the team in stolen bases. And he's trying to take one almost every time as well. He's got 15 on the year. 1-0 count. This one is hit high down the left field line in foul territory. It's cutting back in and towards the Rivets dugout. And the wind just kept pushing that one as it took weirder and weirder leaps in the air. So it drops in foul territory. It's a 1-1 count. And Oñate, his last time up, drew a walk back in the seventh inning. But he was caught stealing for the first time this season. Now a 1-1 count with the runner on first and one away in the top of the ninth. Diaz, he's leaning over towards second. Doesn't take off, though, as the pitch comes in, and it's in there for strike number two. 1-2 count, and Oñate already two RBIs on the game from his double back in the third inning. But another one would be huge if he could pick up a double of sorts. Plenty of space in the right center gap, and 1-2 count coming home. He gets a swing and a miss for strike number three as Diaz remains on first base. There are now two outs in the top of the ninth, and it brings up the right-handed hitting Noah Ruiz to the plate. Ruiz pinch hitting for J.J. Garcia, and this is exactly the spot that they want him to come in on. Ruiz leads the Northwoods League in RBIs on the season with 32. And he was supposed to be getting a day off here, but in a 12-12 game, they don't want to risk him not playing in the most opportune position. He comes in for J.J. Garcia, and he watches the first pitch hit the zone for strike number one. An 0-1 count. He had two RBIs in the game yesterday, extended his lead on the Northwoods League RBIs leaderboard to five. Five ahead of second place. 0-1 count to Ruiz. He has a big swing and a miss for strike number two. An 0-2 count here, and Ruiz trying to make something happen. We are tied at 12 in the top of the ninth. He's come in as a pinch hitter four and made things happen as well. Trying to do the same here with the runner on first base. 0-2 count with two away. Pitch coming home, and Ruiz takes it high for ball number one. And this is something you see often from Ruiz. He swings early in counts because he thinks those are the best pitches. And when he doesn't put one into play, he's able to work and work and work and work that pitch count he does. That's maybe his favorite thing to do. He's had plenty of eight-pitch plate appearances this season. 1-2 count. Swing and a miss. That's strike number three. He was late deciding on that one. And that does it for the top of the ninth. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one left on base. The bottom of the ninth we go. It is tied at 12, and Rockford a chance to walk it off. The Rafters will try and not let that happen when we return here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, Noah Ruiz back over towards third base as he had pinch hit but struck out swinging to end the ninth inning. Not able to come up clutch like he's been able to do so many times this season. And so to the bottom of the ninth we go. We are still tied at 12. The Rafters and Rivets locked in a good one. They've been back and forth since the Rivets came and tied it up in the bottom of the fourth inning. In that bottom of the fourth, the Rivets scored 5 runs to knot it 10-10. Since that point, it's really been a pitcher's duel, 2-2 between the fifth and ninth innings. And the Rafters trying to come up with a win. They turn back to Jafet Martinez, who is on the mound. And Martinez retired 3 of the 4 batters that he faced in the eighth. However, he did not retire all of them because the one batter that he didn't went yard. A.J. Malzone sent one way out of here over the right field wall to make it the 12-12 game that we see right now. It'll be Tate Shimao, Ty Wade, and Jace Blaylock due up in the bottom of the ninth. First batter, Tate Shimao, right-hander, swings and misses at the first pitch to make it an 0-1 count. It's a righty-righty matchup, and Tate Shimao, he has reached all 5 times, although one of them he reached on a fielder's choice. He's singled twice and he's walked twice. His last time up was one of those walks back in the seventh inning. He also walked in the fifth. Has an 0-1 count to lead off the ninth, and a pitch clock violation called here as Martinez is complaining about something and maybe doesn't like that the batter wasn't set. Not sure. Either way, it's a 1-1 count. And the pitch to Shimao is going to miss low for ball number two. It's now a 2-1 count. And Shimao, the second baseman, he singled in the fourth inning and in the second. Scored 2 runs this game. 2-1 count. And Shimao at the plate is going to watch this one miss low for ball number three. And Martinez this season, he's been walked off twice. Once at Lakeshore, once at Fond du Lac. Trying not to make it 3 times this season. And it's what I said earlier, you got to learn from your mistakes, and Martinez hoping to do just that. 3-1 count, grounder towards the third base side, picked up. It's going to be a tough throw from Ruiz, and he misses this. Airmails it into the seats, back in the right field side of things. So he will be forced to stay at second as Tate Shimao reaches first on what's likely to be an infield single and then advances to second on the error. E5 and Ruiz not on the top of his defensive game there, and now we get to see Ty Wade step up to the plate with a runner in scoring position. So with this, the winning run is at second. Nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. And before this, it looks like there's going to be a pinch runner. There is, as the pinch runner is Jack Scarry, the outfielder. So Scarry coming in to replace Tate Shamau. And he represents the winning run. So Scary over on second base. Ty Wade is now going to be at the plate. It'll be the 3-4 batters up next. So Wade, the three hole. Jace Blaylock, the cleanup batter. And before that, a mound visit from Ziggy, who will talk about strategy with Jafet Martinez over there in the Rafters bullpen. Doesn't look like anyone's warming up at the moment. The Rafters will hope that Martinez can work out of it. They're going to need him to. There is a runner on second base and nobody out. The game is tied 12-12 in the bottom of the ninth. Up at the plate, the right-handed hitting first baseman, Ty Wade. And Wade, he is 0-for-4 in the game, but ultimately wouldn't matter if he gets a hit here, as that pitch is a big swing and a miss for strike number one. Tate Shamau ended his night with three hits, all three singles, but hoping for another big-time hit as the 0-1 count is grounded over towards short. Onyade is there. He'll throw to first. It's in time and keeps the runner on second. Big out for the Rafters as Ty Wade is retired. And Jack Scary remains on his base. Brings up Jace Blaylock to the plate with one out and a runner on second base. And before that, it looks like an intentional walk. So Jace Blaylock is heading on down to first base. The Rafters have intentionally walked him. So the Rafters now have a double play in order. The Rivets, a runner on first and second. On first, it's Jace Blaylock. On second, it's Jack Scary. One away in the bottom of the ninth. The winning run is at second. But a double play could send us to extras. Cade Climie at the plate takes the first pitch inside for ball number one. Climie, the right-handed hitting designated hitter, steps up with two men on. Just needs to send one of them home to win it in the ninth. 1-0 the count. Martinez looks back to second. Now he brings the pitch home. This one is hit high in the air towards right field. Could be deep enough, I'm not sure. It's caught by Diaz, and there will be no runner advancing as he throws it in. So another out without the runners moving. And that's another big one for the Rafters. Cade Climie, a simple flyout, and it brings up Tommy Townsend to the plate with two outs and runners on first and second, tied at 12 in the bottom of the ninth. The Rafters still hoping to hold on to win their third out of four games.